You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Join the over 100,000 Browns fans who are registered members of the Browns Backers Worldwide Fan Club. Receive merchandise discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to learn more. Joining us now on the hotline, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union, stopping by to give us a Jaguars perspective on this Sunday's game. And Ryan, thanks so much for joining us here. Happy early Thanksgiving to you. And let me just start with this. Jacksonville Jaguars won 2 out of 3 since the bye. What has been the biggest difference to you in this Jacksonville Jaguars team?
Well, thanks for having me. I think the big thing is they're just playing better defensively. They're stopping the run. They were 32nd in the league through the first 10, 11 weeks, giving up over 160 yards a game. They've cut that in half. So that's given them into some third down situations where they can get off the field by forcing an incompletion or a pressure. So that's been the biggest thing. And, you know, offensively they're not doing a ton different, but they're making a few more big plays to at least put themselves in the scoring position.
And, Ryan, as you look at the attitude of a team and how it responds when you start a season 0-8 and you could easily be just giving up and be left for dead, as a lot of people did in the media with this club and I'm sure fan base. But the only place it didn't seem to register was in that locker room. To whom do you give the credit? It seems like that's a bigger task than just to say, okay, you know, the head coach did it or whatever. I mean, it seems like it's Gus Bradley certainly has to get the lion's share of credit, but it didn't stop with him, right? Others were influential in that regard.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you start with Gus, who, let's keep in mind, it was 0-8. It was 8 double-digit losses. They're on historical pace. I mean, they're going to be one of the worst teams in NFL history for the point differential. So, you know, Gus, you know, always said, hey, I'm being committed to the process. And, you know, you have support from the GM and the owner, but inside that locker room, you counter on certain veterans like Brad Meester, Chad Henne, Maurice Jones-Drew, to sort of keep that attitude. But you come back from the bye, let's face it, the win helps because they could be 0-11. Instead, they're 2-9. I think the win over Houston gives them some momentum to get you the finish line.
The win over Houston, their second win on the road in the last 3 games. They're going on the road again here against the Cleveland Browns. Now, you talked about the defense and stepping up, becoming a better defense against the run. You pointed out how they were the worst in the league the last 3 games. Their running backs are averaging just 48 yards per game against them on the ground. What has been the change? Is it effort? Is it better scheme, better technique? Why? How have the Jags become such a better run defense against 3 pretty good running offenses in Tennessee, Arizona, and Houston?
Well, tackling better is one, but the second one, you hit it on, it's effort. Talking to defensive line coach Todd Wash yesterday, he tracks what he calls loafs, which guys don't play hard. And they only had 11 of those against Houston. He goes, earlier in the season, they were having 24-25. So he challenged his guys to start playing harder. And I think that's been a big thing, is they simplified the scheme a little bit. You know, you play more one gap and say, hey, take care of your gap. If you track the double team, great. But you'll leave it up to the linebackers to pick up the scraps. So I think, you know, put those two together, you're getting a better rush defense. And that's something they needed because they're just being completely gashed the first 8 games of the season.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that as well in terms of watching some of the tape of those games. And I've gone back and reviewed some of it. And I do see a different team in many ways, and as Nathan referred to it, I mean, from the defensive side of the ball, that's kind of where when you're losing and that you get that sense, sometimes teams can lose because they don't have an offense that helps them, and that would reference the Browns, but sometimes you lose because you get that sense of being pushed around. Physically, that isn't what the Jaguars have allowed themselves to do. At least in coming out of that losing streak, they've come back with a sense of physicality, and it just seems like, okay, you're not going to You may beat us. You're not going to beat us up.
Yeah, and you know, that's what happened against San Francisco and London. The 49ers just toyed with them. And, you know, that's where I thought you might see the first chinks in the armor in terms of, hey, guys are mailing it in. But to get that win after the bye, that sort of, you know, validated some stuff, and you may not have guys checking out. So then they've had 2 wins in the last 3 weeks. So, you know, they're buying into what the coaches are, you know, teaching them or telling them what to do, and you've seen some of the results, but still a long way to go. I mean, of these 2-win teams, they definitely have the least amount of talent.
Maurice Jones-Drew, one of the more talented players, one of the more tenured players on this team, coming off his best day of the season, 144 total yards and a score against the Texans. He's been playing very well of late. How do you see Maurice Jones-Drew playing this Sunday against the Browns and finishing out this season, which very well could be his last in Jacksonville?
Well, I think they may have found something against Houston in terms of how they use Maurice.
Throw him the ball.
That's the first thing they started at Tennessee. Second thing, they cut his playing time down by about 12 to 15 snaps from when he was averaging, with the hope that, hey, if they stay in a game until the fourth quarter, he'll be fresher. And I think that made a difference. The 44-yard run obviously helped the average, but that's what every running game has if they're good. So, you know, use him on the screen game. Use him on a swing pass. Get the ball in his hand so he doesn't take that pounding at the line of scrimmage on basic run plays.
We're visiting with Ryan O'Halloran. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for the Florida Times-Union. Ryan, when you see a team win now two of its last three games, it's sometimes a stretch like that can have the effect of winning either three in a row, four in a row. I mean, it gives the team a sense of traction. As you're around that team on a daily basis, what is the energy level like? Because obviously it doesn't necessarily it won't mean realistically that this team is in contention for anything, but it does tend to give it a different perspective. How do you feel the perspective is in the locker room?
I think what it has is given them a jolt of energy. You know, they're not having to face 0-16. They're not having to face 1-15. You know, they got two wins. They've been able to win two division road games on the road, as I said. And you know, what it does is, like, veterans on this team were preaching what the coaches were preaching, so they feel validated. The coaches feel validated. And the young players who 6 weeks ago were just happy to be playing in the NFL, they've got a taste of success and they want more of it. So you add all those together, yeah, they're 2-9, but it could be a hell of a lot worse around here than it is right now.
Cecil Shorts leads this team with 58 catches, 700 yards receiving. He's been very good. The passing game was probably at its best when Justin Blackmon was also there. Talk a little about what Cecil's been able to do this season and, of course, the turmoil surrounding Justin Blackmon, who's been suspended for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Cecil, they got used to life without Blackmon for the first four games, where Cecil was obviously the number one target. Then Blackman came in, they sort of fed up each other. So you could really attack both sides of the field in the passing game. Blackman then suspended again, so Cecil found the flooding a little tough against Tennessee and Arizona. He popped off again after the Arizona game, called the play calling dumb. Both sides sort of put their heads together. He was targeted 11 times, 8 catches last week. So they expect Joe Hayden to sort of follow him around the field like Patrick Peterson did for Arizona. So Cecil's finding out that he's a guy you have to face number one corners, and he's found that difficult at times. But you know, they designed some new ways to get him the ball on some quick screens against Houston, and maybe that'll get him going.
Yeah, that will be something to see if they can kind of get that in gear. And as you look ahead and look at what Gus Bradley has been able to do so far, there was talk about maybe his future being a little bit tenuous. I know, you know, starting things as poorly as this team did, and there's been a quick trigger on that coaching situation. But do you feel enough has been done, not only by Gus, just by the overall group, that Shad Khan, the owner of that team, looks at it and is feeling the needle is pointing more, or at least making a little bit of a movement in the right direction for him for the longer-term future of this team? Or do you expect a lot of changes after the season?
No, Gus was going to be back if this team went 0-16. You know, you may have to shake up his staff, but I mean, the part of the interview process with Dave Caldwell, the GM, interviewed Shad Khan, says, "Hey, what you guys been doing here hasn't worked. We got to tear it down and then build it up again from scratch." So, were they prepared for 0-8 and a huge point differential? No, but obviously the wins help. But I don't think it was ever a question where that they wanted to blow up the coach and the GM again. I don't think that was ever on the table, because he did it last year with Mularkey and Gene Smith, which needed to be done. I think he had to at least give this some time.
Is this a game that you get the sense the Jaguars expect to win? And what are your keys for the Jaguars to win this game?
I think they expect to win the game because they have some momentum. I mean, if this game was in Jacksonville, I would have picked Cleveland, no brainer, because this team stinks at home. So, you know, the fact that they play better on the road, who go figure. But keys for Jacksonville is, you know, Chad Henne is an up and down career, up and down season, is being smart with the ball, and that can mean a lot in turnovers. Maurice Jones-Drew, getting him the ball in a variety of ways. And then on defense is, you know, forcing Brandon Weeden to put it up in the air. So that means winning on first and second down, because I think they feel that they'll be able to capitalize and get a couple turnovers.
Yeah, and you bring that up too. You saw last week the pressure the Browns were unable to get on Ben Roethlisberger and what he was able to do with that. How do you see Chad Henne handling pressure, and what sort of the scheme itself? Because at times it does look like there's a pretty quick release there, but do you see this offensive approach, the scheming done with the idea of quick releases and shorter drops and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, if there is one hallmark to what they want to do offensively, it's get it out of his hands quick and get it to Nate Sanders, the Cecil Shorts, Maurice Jones-Drew, behind the line of scrimmage or just a little bit beyond, then let them do the dirty work. And that's because the offensive line has been patched together. And, you know, last week, Kenny took some hits early. So they did some run action in terms of half rollouts and whatnot, just to get him out of the pocket and then throw short passes. So you're not going to see a lot of seven-step drops and, you know, vertical passing from this Jaguars offense.
We talked about Cecil Shorts. He's likely to be matched up with Joe Hayden, and really only Antonio Brown has gotten the better of Joe Hayden all season long. But it's been secondary receivers, tight ends, who have really stepped up against this team. Who do you think amongst this Jacksonville Jaguars team could step up in that role against the Browns team that's given up multiple passing touchdowns now in six straight games? And I know Chad Henne hasn't thrown for multiple scores all season, but, you know, you have Ace Sanders. What's the latest on Mike Brown with his shoulder? Who do you like to maybe step up for the Jags in this one?
Well, I think, you know, Brown's going to be a piece of the shoulder. So, you know, Ace Sanders broke out a little bit with some medium range stuff over the middle of the field, which was a new wrinkle for him. But sooner or later, I have to expect Mercedes Lewis, the big tight end, to get going. He flashes like one or two times a game, gets some yards after the catch, yards after contact, but they haven't really found a way to get him involved on a consistent basis. So maybe that's the week for him to get involved. But, you know, Shorts one, Sanders two. Probably Jones-Drew / Jordan Todman, running back, number three, and then Lewis, four.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ryan, good. We really appreciate the breakdown, and I'm happy for you. You got something at least a lot more fun to cover than you thought at the start of the year. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we look forward to seeing you at First Energy Stadium on Sunday, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you Sunday.
Travel safe. All right, he is Ryan O'Halloran. He covers the Jaguars for the Florida Times-Union. In a little bit, we're going to catch up with Gerard Cherry, the third wheel on this show. We'll bring him in here to get his thoughts. Hope he's having a better day. Sounded like he was having some issues yesterday.
I do, too.
Want him to be
happy
Gerard.
Happy, yeah, exactly.
A happy Gerard is a good Gerard.
That's right.
All right, that's coming up. And we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns _ daily, at VICCARUCCI, at NATHANZEGURA. We got a few tweets to get through from you very happy listeners, people who love us dearly. I love the love tweets I'm getting.
That's good. That's good.
Or maybe I'm being a little sarcastic about that. But anyway, come hang out with
us
some more.
We've got some nice tweets on here.
A couple nice ones. And a couple people who, they get cranky at the holidays. That's all right. It happens. It's human. Stick around for more ESPN 850 WKNR.